Everyone's a hard act to follow here. So, again, my name is Paulette Carter, the Children's Bureau of New Orleans. We are a private nonprofit agency that offers an array of services that really to improve the mental health and wellness of children and families in our community. And I wanted to say that sort of thank God for NOLA for Life. We've been in the trenches doing this work. I have for years. And it hasn't been, and until NOLA for Life came in and Mayor Landrieu and his, you know, this public health approach, we were putting Band-Aids on the situation, right? You know, we'd work with the kid, we'd work, like, you know, address the trauma. This is the kid who witnessed violence. You know, a month later, the kid has another loved one who's been murdered. You know, so we were constantly always just kind of putting Band-Aids on, waiting for the next thing to happen. And so with NOLA for Life, what happened is that it really gave some political will behind this work. You know, we didn't feel like we're, I don't really feel like we're in this vacuum, you know, providing these services to address, you know, again, community violence and trauma. We don't feel like we're ourselves, by ourselves up anymore. And so I think just, again, looking at that sort of comprehensive public health approach, what we're seeing is, honestly, when we talk about hope, you know, we didn't have hope for a long time. You know, and again, like I said, after you just do this after a while, it's like, okay, is this ever going to get better? Or is this just going to be our norm forever? You know, working with these kids who've had, you know, experienced loved ones who've been murdered, witnessed community violence, been victim themselves of community violence. But now there is, I think, more hope, especially among the service provider community, in that, okay, we're getting somewhere. You know, this is not going to, you know, we're actually looking at prevention rather than just, again, putting, locking people up and, you know, throwing away the key. So it's really been a great experience for us. And I think, again, I think hope is very important to have in this line of work. A little bit about what I want to talk about today is our Project LAST, which is our loss and survival team. And I realize this is a really busy slide, and I apologize, but we're doing lots of work. But Project LAST actually started in the early 90s in response to the high levels of community violence in New Orleans. At that point, we were experiencing 400-plus murders a year. The field of mental health was starting to look at the impact of violence of on children and families. And Project LAST was one of a couple programs in the country, one of the first of a couple programs in the country to really start providing support and mental health services to children and families specifically impacted by violence. And this is sort of a diagram of what we do. If you look here on the sort of your left-hand side, I mean, part of it is evidence-based trauma-informed client services. On the other side is promoting trauma-informed care in the community. So not only providing direct services, but then also really working with community partners in regards to making sure that we understand trauma and our partners understand trauma and we're addressing that, but also on so the advocacy level. What do you do to prevent violence from happening so that, again, we're not just sort of on this hamster, you know, the hamster on the wheel, where we're not going anywhere. But Project LAST, as you see, community-based crisis response intervention. It's also community-based clinical services. And in regards to the health department, we've been working very closely with them, again, when an event occurs, when a traumatic event occurs, typically it's a murder or juvenile homicide. We work with the health department to make sure that we're getting crisis response services to those individuals who've been impacted as soon as possible. An example of this, unfortunately, happened over the weekend. I got a call from Charlotte on Friday night, saying that they had a shooting at a local park. A football team was there practicing. One of the football players was shot, as well as one of the coaches. And, you know, she's like, can you get out there now? Sure, we'll go out there. Fortunately, I think that the kids ended up where they needed to be. Their caregivers came and picked them up. And then we went back on Saturday and actually worked with the football team and their coaches around that crisis response. Mostly the kids were upset because the championship game had been postponed for that day, so we kind of managed some of that. You know, I mean, and they were really gung-ho, ready to go. But sort of talking about, okay, are you really going to make good decisions on the football field after you've experienced this traumatic event, right? And so I think, you know, eventually, and the coaches handled it very well. The kids were disappointed, but they were okay with going and practicing and playing later in the week. I think they're playing the championship game on Thursday. But that's an example of us working with the health department, again, to get response out there as soon as possible. And one thing that when we go out on a crisis response, we talk to those adults who know these children. And do you know of any of these kids here who have had previous experiences with trauma? You know, so that maybe we can do some follow-up. In this particular case, there was actually a member of the football team whose brother had been murdered at that same park 2 years ago. And so we actually had one of our clinicians go with a coach after the response on Saturday to that child's house, to that kid's house. And he wasn't there, but we were able to talk to the caregiver about, you know, what's going on with him. And hopefully we'll eventually get him into our sort of longer-term clinical services. That's what our hope is. So if you look at that, there's, you know, that little sort of arrow at the bottom. If they need more services, we're trying to route them into our longer-term services. You know, crisis response is, and I'm just going to kind of forward to the next slide, which really talks about crisis response. When we go out, our goal is to reduce tension and anxiety. So this is not therapy. Crisis response is not therapy. It is reducing tension and anxiety, raise awareness and increase problem solving of those individuals who've been involved, and really get them back to that pre-crisis level of functioning. And then to identify and refer those who need additional support, which is key. And this is actually a great graphic done by Dr. Perry on the acute response to trauma. And the reason why trauma response is so important, if you see that first sort of the shorter line, actually on the left-hand or your left-hand side of the graph, it talks about that continuum of arousal after you've experienced an event. And what happens is you go from calm up to vigilance, you know, alarm, fear, terror. Our goal is, again, to get these kids to get back down to that level of calm. You have some kids who are pretty resilient, you know, or some kids who disassociate and who actually kind of return back to that level of calm pretty quickly. And then you have some kids who are normal kids, not really vulnerable kids, kids who have supports, who actually most kids, and they say the literature will tell you about 80% of kids after a traumatic event has occurred, really do return to their prior level of functioning. They do well. 20% you kind of have to watch out for. And so that second line there is kind of those kids who really have supports, are normal, return. And then you see the other line, those who are vulnerable with supports, they take a little bit longer to return to normal, and whether they do or not, it's debatable. And then at that last line there, it's vulnerable with few supports, those kids often don't ever get back to that prior level of functioning. And so our goal is to kind of be those supports for both the normal and the vulnerable kids so that we can try to make sure that they're able to cope with that event so that they actually are able to function, that they're not stuck in this sort of arousal, whether it's fear, terror, kind of address some of the distress that they're experiencing because of that trauma. We go back to the chart of Project Last. The other piece of what we do is actually really working in the community, and this is where I think the New Orleans Health Department and NOLA for Life has been very vital in sort of this work, is really promoting trauma-informed care. Again, we know we have a very high, a large population of children who've experienced trauma. A lot of it's due to violence, but we've also, again, had that wonderful experience of Katrina, you know, and so we do have some kids who are still experiencing trauma from that. And so what we're trying to do is really work in the community and with the health department to train individuals who are working with you, to train groups so that they can provide good trauma-informed care to kids. And I want to kind of share something that's happened recently, because I think this sort of falls under that advocacy piece, is that we responded to a school this past week. There was we got there through the health department. We had three students at a school who died in a house fire early Tuesday morning last week. And we were at the school the next day, and we've actually orchestrated all school response. So there were about 640 kids in that school. We touched every single one of those kids, whether through classroom interventions or through individual interventions, depending on what the needs of that student was. So part of what we did is we have six people who do crisis response, so obviously six people can't do 640 kids in 2 days, essentially. But what we do is we train a lot of professionals in the community, or we work with professionals who've been trained in other models of crisis response. And so we really mobilized about 40 professionals to come to that school on Wednesday is when it reopened. And I think a complicating factor to that is that the house was right across the street from the school. And so I think the other piece of that is working with the health department. This house is a corner house, and there's this, so you could see into the house. You could see the sort of burnt remains into the house. And so, you know, again, working with our partnership with the health department, called Charlotte and Chris and said, can we get somebody to cover up the house? We have all these kids coming back here on Wednesday morning. You know, the front of the house was okay, you know, and so actually, and they managed to make it happen. So, but that's I just kind of wanted to share that and just sort of recognize sort of their efforts outside of the violence piece. I know, running out of time. Okay, I will try to move on. So, but the other piece of that is that those kids, that school was an independent charter school, by themselves, no group. They had focused a lot on social and emotional learning. They were teaching social and emotional learning to these kids. So they were teaching empathy, communication, relaxation. And so when we went into those classrooms, those kids had the skills already to help them cope with this horrible tragedy. They were teaching us relaxation. You know, they were like, oh, no, the hot chocolate. You know, you smell the hot chocolate and then you blow on it. They were teaching us. They had a vocabulary so that they could talk about their feelings. They had insight, you know, personal insight as to what they were feeling. And so that intervention went so well because these kids already had these skills. And so I think that's the other piece that, you know, that we need to look at is that social emotional learning piece, making sure our kids, you know, have these skills so that when crises do occur, when bad things occur in their lives, they have something that'll help them get through it. When we look at, I think another focus of ours is making sure that we're providing evidence-based interventions for kids who have been impacted by trauma. So when we look at those longer-term clinical interventions, one of this is ours. We are very proud of this. It is evidence-based. We've done the research. It can be either done with groups or individuals, so we go a lot into the schools and do groups. What we're going to do for this school that just experienced the death of these three students is that in the spring, for those kids who don't get better, we're going to go and do our grief and trauma intervention groups in the spring, so it's about a 11-session group. For those kids who are still experiencing traumatic stress traumatic grief related to this incident. Or for some of those kids, as we identified in our intervention, who have so many losses. You know, we worked with one kid whose brother and mother were just recently murdered. You know, and now he's experiencing this tragedy at his school as well. We'll take this in and we'll do this in the spring as a way of sort of creating a continuum of services for those kids who need ongoing care. Promoting trauma-informed care is so important in our community. One thing that we're working with the health department is actually a learning collaborative where we're going to try to get schools to start looking at their policies and procedures and all of those through a trauma-informed lens. You know, so that maybe hopefully they'll see the value of the social and emotional learning curriculum. But those are partners within the community. It's the New Orleans Health Department that's really heading that up. But we're also working with Tulane Department of Psychology and Mercy Family Center, which is another nonprofit in the community, as well as Covenant House. So a lot of community partners who work a lot in trauma getting together to really sort of develop this learning collaborative for schools. If we leave trauma unaddressed, and we sort of talked about that, and I think Tyrone certainly highlighted the hopelessness piece. One of these schools that we've worked in where they've had 11 students murdered in the last couple of years. We worked with it recently, I think it was a 16-year-old man, 16-year-old youth who told one of my clinicians that he was just hoping to live past graduation. Like if he could make it to graduation, then but that's as far as he was looking forward. Because he really didn't expect to live beyond that. So we know that impacts, again, employment, you know, their dreams for the future. We now know that trauma impacts a person's physical health. You know, heart disease, cancer, diabetes can be linked to previous traumas and traumas that were untreated. And we also know, again, more likely to become victims of violence or perpetrators of violence. And so I think it's so important that we really look at how, again, we respond immediately after an event, but we also make sure that we're going in there and working with those students who are experiencing ongoing trauma and stress. Thank you very much.